When we were approved, Jane and I were elated. I'd never done something so empowering. I was proud and determined to make this school work. Merrill was impressed with our accomplishment and said he'd tell Uncle Rulon. Word got back to Warren Jeffs in Salt Lake City about our triumph. He heard that our charter school proposal had a big computer program. He had banned computers from his school. He knew I was developing my own reading books to complement my reading program, which was also threatening to him. Well-educated children might one day think for themselves. I think Jeffs knew this could ultimately undermine his leadership, so maybe I should have been better prepared for what happened next. Merrill went to talk to Uncle Rulon about the school. He told Merrill it wouldn't happen. I have no idea if Merrill even tried to change his mind. I was only told that the prophet was opposed. There would be no charter school. I was furious. My anger touched a core in me that burst into flame. Nearly everyone in the community wanted this school. For the first time, I began to see how religion could suppress something positive and life-giving. Failing to educate our children was unconscionable. I was too distraught over the crash of the charter school to continue teaching. The thought of going into a classroom again was heartbreaking. I quit when the school year ended. I wanted to move before the public schools were closed in the community, which I was sure was going to happen. I told Merrill that I could make more money as a website designer, and he agreed to let me try. Merrill gave me some office space, and I began developing simple websites for local businesses and selling health food over the internet. Within a few months, the fall of 1996, I was pregnant with my sixth child and was sick again. Life was changing, and not in good ways, as Uncle Rulon began exerting more control on the community. He had built a house in Colorado City, and he and Warren were spending more and more time among us. Our freedom was increasingly disappearing. We were now under strict regulations that prohibited us from going to the movies. Television and the internet were also completely off limits except for business purposes. One afternoon, I went with several of Merrill's other wives to take a baby gift to one of Warren's wives who'd just given birth to a son. I'd heard that she delivered at Uncle Rulon's house and could not understand why she hadn't gone to the clinic. I asked her what happened. "Warren didn't want me to go to Hilldale," she said. "He decided I'd have the baby at home. We had to improvise a bit, but everything worked out okay in the end." She looked like she'd been through hell. "What do you mean, improvise?" I asked. "I was given an episiotomy with sewing scissors and then stitched up with dental floss," she said in a weak and flat voice. I was speechless. How could someone put his wife and child at risk and treat her in such a barbaric way? What frightened me now was that as word got around about how Warren Jeffs treated his wives, other men would start emulating his extreme behavior. At Linda's Coffees, we talked about how domestic violence had increased after the release of Warren's tapes, calling for even more obedience among women toward their husbands.